For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
All right, let's begin Parashas Vayera. What I'd like to focus tonight on, the Rosh Hashiva is very bothered by a phrase in this week's parasha that I think would most of us would run right through, even if we were paying attention to the laning. But certainly if we weren't. Chazal noted its difficulty and have some fascinating things to say in it. So let's learn the context of the psukim on the top of your sheets. This is towards the beginning of Parshas Va'era, which begins with Hashem appearing to Moshe, telling him how he has appeared to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. He never appeared in full to them in the way that he's appeared to Moshe. And he tells them the four languages of Geula that are going to happen. The Jewish people are going to be redeemed. And he sends Moshe on his mission, go tell the Jewish people, we're leaving. And then the Torah says, this is a few psukim into the parasha, Va'idaber Moshe Kenel B'nei Yisrael. Moshe then conveys this to Klal Yisrael, we're going home, it's been 210 years, we're leaving. And this exciting message doesn't seem to get through. V'lo shamu el Moshe mikotza ruach omei avodah, Kashan. The Torah says, and they don't hear it. They don't listen to Moshe from a combination of kotza ruach, from a shortness of breath and from difficult work and their labor. They can't hear. They don't hear the message. So if we were to stop the story, okay, now what? Yeah, Moshe came with his great message and he said, we're leaving, and nobody, like, and they just went back to their work and finished. So now what does Moshe do? So he doesn't know what to do. So Hashem appears to him again. Pasuk Yud. Now in the actual Chumash, there's a little samach here, meaning there's a space of nine. Like Moshe speaks to the Jewish people, and they don't listen. And then there's a pause. And then Hashem comes to Moshe again. Yeah?
So this Pasuk test is the second time he's speaking to him. He spoke to them in the end of Shemos already, right?
Yeah, I think this is not... I don't believe this is the first time. Yeah, this is where he says in the Arba Lashonos of Geula Lovot. That's in the beginning of our parsha. Mm-hmm. He conveys a message, and they don't listen. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe. So then Hashem speaks to Moshe a second... I don't know how many times we keep in track. This is several times. He speaks to him again. Bo daber el paro melech Mitzrayim. Okay. So we've spoken to Klal Yisrael. That didn't really go very far. Now Hashem says to Moshe, now again, this is not the first time he told him to speak to Paro. We've had that in all of last week's parasha as well. Bo daber al Paro melech Mitzrayim vishalachas b'nei Yisrael me'artzo. And tell him to send the people out. Vayidaber Moshe lefnei Hashem. The Moshe responds to Hashem and he says, Hein b'nei Yisrael lo shamu elai. One of the first kal v'chomers that we have in Tanakh, Moshe says, the Jewish people to whom I'm telling them, good news, we're leaving, we're going free, and they don't listen to me. Ve'ech yishmeini faro v'ani arel svosai. How in the world, as a person like me, who can't even convince the people who want to hear what I'm saying, and they don't listen, I can't speak well, how is Paro going to hear what I have to say? So he gets the new tzivoy, now go to Paro instead, and he says, I can't. It's not going to work. He's not going to listen to me. I can't speak clearly. So Hashem responds, Vayidaber Hashem Moshe v'el Aharon. So now he adds Aharon into the equation. Rashi says, well, if you think you can't speak and that's the problem, I can remedy that. I'll give you Aharon and he'll be your spokesperson. Vayitzaveim el b'nei Yisrael v'el Paro melech Mitzrayim. Lehotzias b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim. And he commanded them, Moshe and Aharon, el b'nei Yisrael ve'el paro melech Mitzrayim, to take the Jews out of Mitzrayim. Where is the extra phrase here? Vayitzavim el b'nei Yisrael. Wait a minute. We're about to go to Paro. So you have a problem, Moshe. You said you can't... You've thought of this kasha before?
No, I've taught it a thousand times.
Oh, you've taught it a thousand times. Okay, so right. So he went to Klal Yisrael. They didn't listen. So Hashem says, "Okay, go to Paro." Moshe says, "I can't go to Paro. I don't speak well." So Hashem says, "Fine, I'll give you Aaron." And then Vayitzavim el b'nei Yisrael v'el paro melech Mitzrayim. How would we translate that literally? Forget about what it means. Literally, if you're art scroll, how would you translate the phrase Vayitzavim el b'nei Yisrael v'el paro melech Mitzrayim? Should I ask you? Though you've taught this, right? How did you translate it?
I'm afraid now, so I'm just going to be quiet.
About Bnei Yisrael and about Paro.
Well, it's happened El Bnei Yisrael.
He commanded them.
What Hashem said, the words of Hashem, El Bnei Yisrael to Bnei Yisrael. You could look at that.
I'm going to say, sorry, the first phrase, let me just, so I could hear many things. Vayitzavim El Bnei Yisrael means?
Commanded them about.
To the Jewish people?
Towards.
Commanded Moshe and Aaron El Bnei Yisrael.
About? Them meaning Moshe and Aaron.
Right.
I don't know what, yeah.
V'el Paro Melech Mitzrayim, is that speaking to Paro or something regarding Paro?
Regarding or about.
What it's what they need to say. Paro, Lotzia Bnei Yisrael Mitzrayim.
He's going to be telling them each something about going out of Mitzrayim, but we don't know exactly what he's going to be telling each of them. It might not be the same thing.
So this is a very difficult phrase. Both phrases are difficult. Now, generally the word El, Vayidaber Hashem, El Moshe Lemor means, I'm speaking to the person on the other end of that phrase. Vayidaber El, speak to them. Here, this would be a very difficult way to translate. Speak to the Jewish people about what? We're going to Paro. We did the Jewish people already. That didn't work. Now we're going to Paro.
Maybe he wants to go back. Maybe he has to go back.
Could be. Could be. Okay. Let's take a look at Rashi. He's going to give us a couple of two approaches, and then we'll see what Chazal is. But the Rashi is not part of this, is just giving us a picture. So Rashi says as follows, Vayitzavim el b'nei Yisrael, tziva aleihem, he commanded Moshe and Aaron about the Jewish people, lahanhigam benachas v'lispol osam, to treat them, to lead them with nachas, patiently, calmly, Vilizbolosam, and to bear them, tolerate them. This is their induction into the world of leadership of the Jewish people. What, you spoke to them and they didn't listen. What, you think that's it? You're done? You tried once and they said go away and that's it? You're just going to throw in the towel? That's not how it works with the Jews. So here we have Poshta Pshat, says Rashi, Vayitzavim El Bnei Yisrael. You need an instruction on how to lead Jews. Leading Jews is different than what you might have thought. You need to have savlanut, a lot of patience, a lot of tolerance, lahanhigam benachas. It was a command regarding them. The El Paro Melech Mitzrayim, continues Rashi, tziva alav, he commanded them, like Moshe, it seems like, lachlok lo kavod b'divrayim, that he should give them, maybe he commanded Paro, that they should give them kavod in their words, that they should treat...
Moshe and Aaron should be covered when they speak.
It should have been tziva aleihem. They should be respectful when they speak to them.
Yeah.
So in Rashi's Pasha Pshat, it would both be regarding them. And this command was in regarding the Jewish people of don't give up on them so fast. You tried once and they didn't listen. That's nothing. Welcome to Jewish leadership. And in regards to Paro, treat him, be bekavodik when you go there. Zeo Midrashu. That's actually, Rashi says, that's more of the Midrashic approach. Pshuto, tzivam al devar Yisrael v'al shlichuso el Paro. He commanded them in regards to what he's going to talk about the Jewish people in his message to Paro. Tzivam el b'nei Yisrael v'al Paro. You're going to speak to Paro. That word el is speaking to him. El b'nei Yisrael, in regards to the Jewish people that you're taking them out. Rashi is trying to just figure out how to translate the words. But what the bottom line is for our purposes, and then Rashi tells us where that tziva is going to be, because the next words in the Torah are the Ela Roshei Beis Avosam. He gets into the side point of the lineage. But it's a tough phrase to translate. What's this tziva? What's this commandment? So Chazal also noted this difficulty, and they say as follows. In Yushalmi, Vayitzavim el b'nei Yisrael, Amar Rav Shmuel b'Rav Yitzchak, this is source number 3, al matzivam, posh pshat, it sounds like there was a new commandment given to the Jewish people. What is that? So Rashi tries to figure out what exactly it is. Say Chazal, al parshos shiluach avodim. There was a new mitzvah given to Klal Yisrael at this point, the mitzvah of sending away your slaves, which is a reference to Parshas Mishpatim, when you'll have a Jewish slave, an Eved Ivri, who sold himself out of his poverty, and he works for you for 6 years. After 6 years, what happens? Out. Everybody out. Comes Shemitah, comes the Tekiah Shofar, everybody's gone. No stay. You can't hang around. Everybody leaves. So, what's going on here? What's this Tzivoy? So again, Moshe goes to Klal Yisrael, we're leaving, they don't listen to him. So Hashem says, go to Paro. I can't go to Paro. I'll give you Aaron, And now, before you go to Paro, you have to go back to the Jewish people and tell them that a year, now the Makos haven't started yet, so we have a year still in Mitzrayim, but tell them now that after the next year you're going to leave, then you're going to wander for 40 years, then you're going to 14 years until you finally settle the land, then there's going to be a din that says if you have an Evan Ivri, he goes free after 6 years. And you need to teach them that now before you go to Paro. So, say, Chazal. They are actually coming from two places. Number one, it sounds like it's whatever he says to Klal Yisrael is the same thing that he says to Paro. So that it's talking about freedom of slaves. To Paro, he's going to say, free the Jews now. And to the Jews, he's going to say, free the Jews later when you'll have a Jewish slave. So it's like the same sort of tzivoy. And for those of you familiar with Sefer Yirmiyahu, which I'm not, but the Rosh Yeshiva was, the Navi puts these two together as well.
I'm just lost. If they didn't even get that they're going to be free because they have shortness of breath, how are they going to get that eventually they're going to own slaves?
Excellent. That's well, the kind. In other words, that's what we're working through.
That's the concept he's trying to,
that's
to
our
get them.
Yeah.
In other words, to reach.
So this is that's tonight's shiur. Like what? Where did what's the meaning? They won't even listen to we're going free. This is an interesting thing. But that's the exact question that we're addressing, 100%. So the Navi says, Komar Shem Elokei Shol, Anochi Karasi Brisas Avosechem B'yom Hotzi Osam Yeretz Mitzrayim Mesa Vadim Limor. I established a bris on the day I took them out of Mitzrayim, saying, Tishlachu Isha Sachiv Ha'ivri Asher Yimacher Lachal V'yavot Chashesh Shonim Nishlach Toch Chavshim Meimach. The Navi puts, I taught them the mitzvah of sending forth your slaves, but the Navi says it, when did I teach Klal Yisrael this? On the day that I took him out of, what? Shaychus, the day you took him out of Mitzrayim? That's Parshas Mishpatim. We're going to learn about that right after Kabbalah Satorah in the Midbar. But the Navi also sees this idea with, or tied into leaving Mitzrayim, and Chazal say that's the remez of Vayitzavim el B'nei Yisrael.
When Chazal says something like that, do they mean that he actually taught it to them, or it's a concept that...
Great question. I don't know. We'll address it on a conceptual level, that Chazal see that somehow, before Moshe goes to Paro, he has to go to the Jews and teach them...
Because like a lot of other mitzvahs, they maybe like should know first.
Correct. This mitzvah is not in the list. When Chazal talk about all the various mitzvahs that are taught before Kabbalah Satorah, this Chazal buried in the Yerushalmi is not in the list. Chazal will talk about Shabbos, Paraduma, Kibbutz Avein. There's a certain list.
Yeah.
This is not on there. It's not on there.
Is this mitzvah also part of it where the person doesn't want to be freed, and then therefore they have to do this, you know, the thing in there?
Okay, so let's talk about this on a couple levels. So Chaim Shmulevitz
didn't think of being free, that they were staying, you know, with
Paro. So Chaim Shmulevitz says it in a different way. He discusses in the Sichos Musar the idea that when a person is relevant to something, they get it. Far more than if you teach me something that I'm not relevant to. And we've all experienced this a million times in life. You can learn something in school, in yeshiva, in seminary, 100 times. And then the first time you make Pesach, it's like you've never heard of it before. Like, you've never heard of Chame. I don't know what to do. I've never had to do this. You have notes and notes and notes, and you've taken tests and tests and tests, but it's on your... And now you do it, and if you go to a shiur now... I got it. Like, this is relevant to me. I need to know how to do it. It's applicable to me. So Reb Chaim Shmulevitz says, so Klal Yisrael is now slaves. They're so overburdened that they can't even hear a message. Now's the time to talk to them about, you're going to have to let that guy go too. I know you want to keep him. It would be nice. He's working well for you. You have to set him free. They're at a ripe moment to hear the mitzvah of Shiluach Avadim, that you have to let him go, because they're holding in it right now. They're hearing a message, whether they heard it, they didn't hear it. Moshe's saying, we're leaving, and they can't. So now is a ripe time where they're holding in the parsha, so to speak, is why it's being taught now. That's how he addresses why it's being taught now. But it leaves us still with the question of, how is it relevant as a response to Moshe saying, Moshe says to Hashem, Klal Yisrael didn't listen, how is Paro going to listen? So teach them Shiluach Avadim. Like, they're not, wow.
Yeah, I mean, in a way it does make sense, because they didn't listen because they couldn't imagine that they'd be free. And now they're going to get a mitzvah that they have to do when they're going to be free. Well, if they believe at all in Hashem, then therefore they will be free because they're going to have to do this mitzvah.
Okay, so we could say that. Let's drill down a little bit more on that idea. As why this is relevant specifically now. Okay, let's start with a piece of Gemara that we did a couple of weeks ago back when we talked about Eliezer Eved Avram, and we'll address that again a little bit now. If you stick around the shir long enough, as we saw in Brachos, there are like six different weeks in which we took the same theme and just wove it in and out, so that will happen a lot over the course of our studies of the Chumash through Goldovich's approach. So this will be one of them. So when you talk about the mitzvah of Shiluach Havadim, of sending forth your slaves, so every 6 years he goes. However, the Torah gives an option to the slave, to the Jew, to say, I don't want to leave. It's the mitzvah on the owner to send him out 6 years, and then he goes. But the slave can say, Ahavti es Adoni, I love my master, I'm not going, I'm staying. And the Torah permits that, and he'll stay le'olam, forever, which of course means until Yovel, but he stays forever. He becomes an Eved le'olam, except he has to go through one process, and that's the process of the ear piercing. He gets his ear pierced against the doorpost, against the mezuzah savayis, and when that happens, he becomes the Eved to the owner le'olam for the next 50 years. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai darshins this in Maseches Kedushin. The Gemara Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai asks the following kashan, source number 5. Manishtana ozen mikol evarim shebaguf. What did the ear do?
It heard.
We'll get there, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, we're going to get there, right? So what did the ear? Why did the ear get punished? You get that ear pierced. Pierce his toe, pierce his finger, put a string around. What did the ear do that in order for him to remain for that second chunk of time, he has to have his ear pierced? Says Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Parshutz. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says, Ozen Shishama Koyli Al Har Sinai, Bisho Shomarti Kili B'nei Yisrael Avodim. The ear that heard me say on Har Sinai, the Jewish people are servants to me. Kili b'nei Yisrael avadim, v'lo avadim la avadim. They're not slaves to slaves. A Jew is a slave to Hashem. Another Jew wants to become a slave to a Jew. You're making yourself a slave to a slave. But you're my slaves. The ear that heard that message, that you are slaves directly to me and only to me, and then that ear, halach zev ikana adom atzmo, that ear then says, no, I want to have another slave in between myself and my master, this other Jew who's going to own me. The ear that heard that message that you're my slaves directly and you want to then put someone else in between us, yiratzah, that ear should be pierced. So says the Gemara Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai.
It says at Har Sinai, it doesn't say Mitzrayim.
Correct. Right now, Rabbi Yochanan is dealing with the mitzvahs later. Why do we pierce the ear of the Jew? Because the ear that heard... The Maral asks another kasha. This pasuk, if you note it, is quoted from Parsha Vayikra. Parsha's Mishpatim is said in Shmos, right after Kabbalah Satorah. This pasuk wasn't even said yet when the Torah already gives the mitzvah of piercing the ear. That's a separate kasha for a different discussion. In any case, this is the Gemara. Why do we pierce the ear? Because the ear heard, and yet it went ahead and acquired a master for itself. So we could ask the kasha, which we asked when we learned Parshas Chayasara. So why don't we say, every time a person eats treif, what do we give them? What's the punishment for eating non-kosher food? I'm just imagining. I know you can't even imagine.
The
person gets makos. It's lashes. For Chil Shabbos would be Misa. Why don't we say the following? The ear that heard on Har Sinai, don't eat chazir, and you went ahead and you ate from McDonald's. The ear that heard on Har Sinai, pierce that ear. The ear that heard on Har Sinai, Shabbos Osai Tishmoiru, pierce the ear. Why don't we say that? Well, here we say, the ear that heard, Kili b'nei Yisrael avodim, that ear should be pierced. What about every other? We don't find this anywhere else other than here.
Yeah, but not eating treif, the next time you could eat kosher and say no to the treif here, you're going to be indentured for a period of time. There's a big difference.
Oh, okay, good.
Also, those are negative mitzvahs, and this is not...
Excellent. So I said this to some of the boys in the yeshiva today, and they came up to that tzvah. They said, well, all the other things, those are a lot. Those are prohibitions of the Torah. The Torah doesn't prohibit a slave from saying, I want to stay. He's just... That's not what I want you to do. Choice. You're making a bad choice, but it's not a prohibition that you're violating. So here, it's more specific to you made this choice, but the ear that heard, don't do that. Keep your freedom for me and be a slave. That ear gets pierced. They also had a similar
story. So other people could see it and know that he is kept on as a slave because he chose to be.
You could ask the same question anyway about positive mitzvahs too. That why don't we have this for positive?
If you didn't do the positive, the ear that heard,
that we're not doing
where it sits is in tefillin and you didn't do it, pierce the ear. Excellent. So why here? So, we also began a discussion about the ear. If you remember, the way I raised the question was, if a person, Rachmana Litzlan, had a choice, let's say he was being punished by some pirates back in the 17th century, and they said, we're either going to blind you or make you deaf. And a person had to choose which faculty could I live with better? Is it more important for me to have, I need this faculty, my ability to see or my ability to hear? Was the question that we had posed.
Right.
What's that?
Eliezer
Ben Avraham. That was the topic that we brought it in, because we were talking about this. We brought it in another time, if I remember correctly.
But what did it have to do with the ear?
The same topic of being an Ev. We're talking right now. All tied into it. We're getting there. So if you talk from a practical perspective, which way is it easier to live life? I think most people would agree. What would you go with? Which faculty is more important to be able to live practically? Sight. I think so. I think it's harder not to be able to see it practically to get through life. Although I'm not sure. But it compensates for different things. People who are deaf feel very isolated. It's hard to be in a room and not know what's going on around you.
The person who's blind also doesn't know.
Correct. But you can hear. It's very tough choices. You know, Rahman al-Salam, they're just nothing good about it. From a spiritual perspective, spiritually, which faculty is more important to be able to see or to be able to hear?
Hear.
To be able to hear. So the Rabbeinu Yonah writes very clearly, the ability to hear is a far more valuable spiritual tool. Question is, why? So Rabbeinu Yonah writes as follows, in the last source on your sheet, Ha'ayin Eiver Nichbad Ma'od, says Rabbeinu Yonah in Shari Tshuva. The eye is a very, very dear and special faculty. Ki yirubo es ha-ma'oros ha-mesamcha mesalev. You can see beautiful, wondrous things, amazing things that you could see with one's eyes. The Nichbad Mimenu Ha'ozen. But more dear, more special, more valuable than the eye is the ear. Ki yishmu bo shmua tova, because you could hear good things. Hamidashenes es ha-etzem she'ein bo ha-hargosha. And the ear has the ability to arouse sensation more than the eye. You could see something beautiful, but it won't have an impact as when you hear something beautiful. Think about music, the way the music can move us. Think about a powerful schmooze, a powerful talk, powerful compliment. The ability for a human being to communicate in words to another human being penetrates like through our ears into our soul far more powerfully than something that we see. Seeing is valuable, certainly on a practical level and on a spiritual level. But to get into the depths of our soul, there is no greater window, says Rabbeinu Yonah, than through our ability to hear. And if you were to take away somebody's ability to hear, you've robbed them of that spiritual growth, that inspiration that they can receive through the spoken word. Chayin Amru Chazal, he brings from Chazal, Ki Ha'ozen Nichbon Mishar Ha'Ivarim, and the proof is that Im Sima Es Eino, if a person damages his body by blinding him, No Sein Lo Deme Eino, you pay the value of an eye. Figure out how much value is eyesight to a person, and that's what you pay, because you damage his eyesight. Charshu, however, you made him deaf, No Sein Lo Deme Kulo, you pay the same value as if you killed him. To make a person blind, you pay the value of eyesight. You make a person deaf, it's as if you've taken away his whole life. And you have to pay him as if you killed a person. Ubier says the Rabbeinu Yonah, what's the explanation? Achrechein ki tihye avodas ha'ozen. This is in the bold, b'shmoa el ha'toychachos. The avod of the ozen is to hear rebuke, to hear tochacha, to hear musr. Because the goal of our life is to improve, to become better today than we were yesterday, and better tomorrow than we were today. And the way we do that is by hearing people tell us the things that we don't like to hear of what we need to do to be better. And if you rob somebody of their ability to hear that, they will be stuck where they are. Because the window into the soul is to hear schmooze. It's to hear inspiration. Whether or not your inspiration is fire and brimstone, whether or not it's love, whatever, it doesn't matter. But whatever it is that works, you need to hear that. And if you take that away from somebody, you've robbed them of their ability to move and to grow and to become something. And therefore, he concludes by saying that the refuah for our entire, he's talking Shari Tshuva, how do we heal ourselves from the chatoyim, from the sins that we've done, is the ability to hear that which we need to hear, because through that we could help everything out. That's like the all-inclusive remedy for all of our ailments. So the Rosh Yeshiva says, that's Pshat Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Ma nishtana ozen mikol evarim shebeguf. Why does the ear get pierced? A person wants to become a slave. And this is where we spoke about this with Avram, with Eliezer Eved Avram. What does it mean to be a slave? What does it mean to say to another human being, you own me? Not that I'm working for you for a daily wage, at which point I have the ability at any point to say, I'm out. I choose not to engage this anymore. But to say, you are mine, or I am yours. Even if you become a slave to the Chafetz Chaim, and the Chafetz Chaim would say, you're davening Shachar's Mincha Maariv, you're going to have a four-hour Seder. But everything that I do, every aspect of growth is because the Chafetz Chaim told me that this is what I'm doing. I've given away the bailus, the ownership of my own spiritual being. My own ability to choose how, when, what. It's now somebody else's decision. And even if that person is the Chafetz Chaim, who's going to make good choices for me, but I've given away who I am. And that's why Eliezer, who's an Eved, can have no connection to an Avram. You can't marry an Eved because you're not a Ben Chorin. And you might have become, if you remember the language Chazal described Eliezer, as literally mirroring Avraham. Doila Umashke, he went to the well of Avraham's Torah. He was the primary student, the primary teacher. But I can't ever marry my child to you, because you're just an expression of me. You're not you. And not to be you is pretty low down the totem pole in Torah thought. Not to be you. Who are you? And an Eved doesn't have that. So when an Eved says, after 6 years, I want to stay an Eved. I have to sell myself, I was in poverty. But you know what? I like this. I like my master, I like my wife, I like my life. This is good. So you say the ozen that heard on Har Sinai, the ear that's the window into your soul, the window into your growth, the window into everything of your personal change, that heard, you're my slave from Hashem. You're supposed to be working for me. And that ozen said, I'll close that off. I'm not interested in doing that. I'd rather go through somebody else as an Evan. So that ear, that faculty, the organ that is the window into our soul, that gets pierced. Treif, Shabbos, we'll have other punishments for that. You want to be a slave? Giving away your bailus of who you are, in the ear, which is the window into who we can become, specifically is the one that gets the punishment there. If you hear what Moshe says, what does the Torah describe? Moshe comes to Klal Yisrael and says, we're leaving. And the Torah says, V'lo shamu el Moshe. They couldn't hear him. Shmi is different than Rav Hirsch talks about. When you see something, so if you look at a painting, so the eye sees it all immediately. You take in the entire scene in 1 second. Here it is. When you hear something, by definition, as you're listening to my sentence, you have to keep in mind my first word that I said as I go through the whole sentence and picking up what's the object, where am I going with this, where is it? And then you have to process it, take it all into account, and put it all together. Hearing requires your active participation, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. You have to hear that, because seeing is a different faculty. It's just, there it is, I see it. You can't just hear something at once. It doesn't work that way. You have to hear it one word at a time, and you have to take it in there. You have to hold it, process it, understand it, and get it. Yeah.
There's also optical illusions with your eyes, so your eyes can deceive you, where you don't have that with hearing.
Your eyes can definitely deceive you. You can, not in the same way. I would agree with that. On some level, eyes are much... Seeing is believing is not true. We know that. Certainly, you can manipulate a picture far more than the spoken word is much harder, because we hear that it's more authentic. We've all seen pictures that have been doctored a million times. I mean, how many times have you listened to a speech that was doctored and it wasn't really the person speaking? Much, it's just harder to do that.
Not since Nixon.
Right. Right. Exactly. Who is Nixon?
I was
going
to say. Yeah, that's
I remember in history class we heard about a person named Nixon.
Oh,
no, I'm just joking. I'm just joking. I'm just joking. Okay, so that's Rabbi Yochanan. So the Rishiva concluded as follows. Sfasemis asks Akasha, when do we pierce the slave's ear? At what point in his status?
When he decides that he wants to not be a Baal.
Correct. What happened 6 years prior? He sold himself into slavery.
But because...
So Sfasemis asks, well, wait a minute. Why don't we say, when he sold himself, part of the deal of selling yourself as a slave should be, okay, we'll allow you to do this process, but if you're going to sell yourself as a slave, you need to know that the ear that heard on Har Sinai, you are my slave, and not anybody else, you pierce yourself.
Sometimes it's like there's a reason why
there was
a means
to an end.
They had no choice. Sometimes they were in prison and didn't have a choice.
Great. So that's the Sfasemis asked that question. This is an interesting thing, that he was a slave raid for 6 years. The ear that heard on Har Sinai not to be a slave already has been a slave for 6 years. But when he makes that choice, then we pierce his ear. Not in the beginning.
I don't know the way that this is written.
So I'm not sure whether or not it was written as the Sfasemis' teretz or this is the Rosh Hashiva's teretz. I don't know. But basically says, those first 6 years are temporary. Each morning when he wakes up, there is a calendar that gets marked off, I will be free. And when a human being sees the light at the end of the tunnel, he's free already now. I am free now because it's just another couple weeks, couple months, couple years. But there's a date on my calendar that I'm free. But when he makes the choice after 6 years and says, La'olam, I will be your slave, then we say, you've thrown away your freedom. I think it was Rav Beryl Wine that I heard this from, I'm not sure, said, throughout Klal Yisrael's history, even though the Rambam writes very strongly, it is absolutely forbidden to predict when Mashiach is coming. And he quotes from the Gemara in Sanhedrin, strong language, what should happen to a person who gives a date when it's supposed to happen. If you flip the next page in the Rambam, he gives you a date when Mashiach is going to come.
He says you're not allowed to, and then he does it?
Yeah. As did the Ramban and many other Gedolei Yisrael. Why? Why? And always, throughout Klal Yisrael, we've had date after date after date from Gedolim, not from,
Because we need to see the light.
I think it was a barrel of wine. Said it almost as like it's the child, you're going to New York and it's 14 hours and after about 23 minutes someone in the back says, are we almost there? Are we there yet?
Yeah, except for that there's a real letdown if the date...
That's the date. That's why you're not supposed to do it. That's why you're not supposed to do it.
Right, so...
I can't remember who said it, so I'm hesitant to put it on somebody who might not have said it as, can you imagine being a Jew in the 1100s going through the Crusades? And I would say to you, don't worry, Mashiach, it's going to be 2015, he won't be here. It's like, Ibn Shalom. Ibn Shalom. What? That's impossible. Where am I supposed to go with this? This interminable 2,000-year exile. First one was 70 years, but this one is 70 years came and went. Okay, maybe it's only going to be 200. By the time you hit the year 1,000, you're like, this has been a long time, and we're not getting any better. There's no reason to assume the next 50 years are going to be better than the previous 50 years. What's the deal? And you just have these landmarks of, you're almost there. It's Takaroi. He might come. if you'll be right. And it's just, it might not be good because the letdown when it comes and goes has been bad for us, but it's almost as if I need, it's weird, we're almost there. We're almost there, we could do this. Well, if there was no light for 1,000 years of Gullus, 1,000 years of pogroms and crusades and inquisitions, Tach V'tat, Holocaust, how? So for 6 years, this is it. It's temporary. I didn't have any money. I'll be fine. But then you come and say, forever? That's the ear that gets pierced.
The Jews in Mitzrayim.
Oh. So the Jews are in Mitzrayim. Velo shamu el Moshe mikotzeruach. They had no ear. They had no ear. They could not hear a message. It's a message of geula. It's a message of chayrus. It's a message of freedom. And there's no ear. They don't have the organ. They don't have the faculty to hear the message. And Moshe says to the Baruch Shalom, Klal Yisrael is not listening.
Yeah, but you know.
Let me just finish that. Vayitzavim el b'nei Yisrael, say Chazal. So Hashem says to Moshe, go teach them shiluach avadim. Teach them the mitzvah that they will have slaves and they're going to set the slaves free. That it's a temporary 6 years and then they go. They need to hear that mitzvah because it's a mitzvah that doesn't yet have the ear pierced. It's a mitzvah that says, you can choose to make this permanent, but it's not now. It's a six-year deal. If you want to make it permanent, we're going to pierce the ear that says, I want to permanently throw away my freedom. But the six-year deal is then shiluach, and then you get sent out. And Moshe is trying to give Klal Yisrael ears, because v'lo shamu el Moshe mikotzei ruach. They could not hear the message, and he needs to give them a faculty simply to hear what he's saying. So teach in the midst of shiluach avadim. Teach them the mitzvah that they will have slaves, and then they have to set them free. It's a temporary thing, and then you go free to try to give them that sense. Yeah.
So we know that Rivka had a nose ring and other things. How do we? Why are we making an assumption that people here didn't pierce their ears before all of this happened?
It could be that they did. Whether or not a man was put up against a doorpost and had an awl slammed into his ear doesn't seem the standard practice.
Or if
right. He doesn't wear an earring or something, it could close back up. So it's a temporary...
Could be. It depends on how big the awl is. I don't know.
It's symbolic.
But yeah. I mean, the main thing is...
So
again,
it could be that they had ears
pierced. It could be they did, but they didn't do it up against a doorpost.
It doesn't really mean that... It doesn't really mean, but your ear is forever going to be just because you're also going to be forever be a servant.
It's the message of the air, yeah.
So what really this message was saying, there is going to be a geula.
Correct, yeah, and you have to hear, right.
It's like those slaves are temporary, your slavery is temporary.
That's right, and you have to be able to hear that.
If you go back to the pasuk, it's the same message to Paro.
To Paro, exactly. So the exact same message to Paro of we're leaving, we are going out because Kili b'nei Yisrael avadim. That's the permanent state of the Jew is an Evet Hashem, and anything else is a temporary.
But they only asked for 3 days. He didn't ask for permanent.
No, but you're not our God. We have a God.
But why were they asking for 3 days to go to bring Korbanot to?
Because to our real.
Right,
to our
but they were saying it's permanent. But their state.
Correct. There's one other medrash which I did not put on your sheet on Vayitzavim el b'nei Yisrael where Chazal. Or bother, what was the tzivoy to Klal Yisrael? So another medrash, which he concludes with, is tziva osam lahachin atzei shitim lemishkan. Tell them that they have to prepare the wood for the Mishkan. So they're a year away from leaving. Plant the trees you're going to need for wood. For what? For the Mishkan, which is the classic prototype of Avodas Hashem. How do you get your ears to hear this message? You start preparing the wood for your freedom of the Mishkan. And that's Vayitzavim el b'nei Yisrael. What is that phrase doing here? He's about to go to Paro. Before you go to Paro, go back to the Jews, teach them about the Mishkan, teach them about Shiluach Avodim, because we need to develop ears for Klal Yisrael to be able to hear a message, to take in the inspiration of our greatest faculty to change who we are, which is really what it is all about.
Until now, let's say with all the Avos and even the Shvatim knew that there was going to be Galus Mitzrayim.
Right.
And they knew that it wasn't. Didn't they have the that it was going to be 400 years and 210 and 190. Didn't they have that all?
And I don't know if they had it. They had 400, Hashem says explicitly to Avram.
And Yitzchak, and they knew it. They went down, and he said, I knew you. And, you know, when Yosef said to them, it's not your fault. I knew you had to go down to Mitzrayim because this is where we had to be half Gaulus Mitzrayim.
Yeah, I don't know. It wasn't clear it was going to be Mitzrayim. That wasn't clear.
That doesn't say Mitzrayim there.
Yeah, it wasn't clear that that's where it would be.
400 years.
The Ivdu we knew was from Arba Me'er Shona.
To understand that it's Mitzrayim.
But, well, because that's what happened. But right. No, they didn't have a Masorah that it was going to be Mitzrayim.
And right. Then at some point they figured out, all right, I guess this is the place.
Yeah, that I think they knew,
because
right.
Because otherwise they would have left Mitzrayim when, point.
But that's, they would have taken Yosef back with them.
They would have left if they didn't feel there was a reason to stay.
But how long it was going
to
be.
I don't think so. And it's just, I think, in the same way as we had this Masorah of 7 years of the first goal, but it was hard to calculate when, Rashi explains, looking backwards, how did we get 400 out of 210? Oh, it was from Yitzchak's birth. I don't know that Klal Yisrael had that Masorah.
And even then, we say Chishava Kitz. We said it was cut down. So
no, but I have to go look into it. I read Mefarshim. I can't remember where, but it seemed to imply that that was the understanding.
Could be. I don't think that's posh of shot.
I think it's a backwards understanding.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.